So how's everyone doing today, tonight? Good. Well, before I start, I actually wanted to really thank Reed and Mariah for all they do for us. We don't even realize, I don't think, because, I mean, most of us, you know, this has been our only youth pastors, but these people are the most amazing people in my life, that's for sure. I can't even, in any church I've ever seen, these people have really given their heart and soul and everything for this ministry, for you guys here. They've stayed up all night, especially on camp weeks. Oh my goodness, I don't think they sleep for the entire, you know, 11 months up to camp. So I just think what we owe them, you know, as a group, to really just say thank you. If you guys could all just stand and just give a hand for Reed and Mariah for just being the most amazing youth pastors ever. And for some reason, they decided to let me speak today, so see how that goes. So anyway, for those of you who don't know me, I am Justin. I have been going here, I think, for the last three or four years. I've been here at GM, but I've lived in Alaska my whole life, all 21 years. I know it's hard to believe I'm 21 because I look so much older. It's probably the facial hair. I understand, you know, I get confused with David and Isaac all the time, but you know what? That's okay, you know? Anyway, so yeah, I've been living here my whole life. Parents are in the back right there if you guys want to say hi. We haven't even moved houses, so I've been here all my life. I actually go to school now in Portland, so this is sadly my last week here in the great state of Alaska with all of you. So kind of sad, but so I'm leaving on Tuesday. If you guys want to, you know, see me off at 2 in the morning, you know, who's there? Anyone in? Anyone in? All right. So anyway, but so yeah, and now I'm going to start us off with some prayer. So to Jesus, I just I thank you for the opportunity that I have to come here, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity that we all have to just come into your house and spend time worshiping you, spend time learning about you. I just pray that you move through me, Holy Spirit. You speak through me, and that that people understand what I'm trying to say, and that I speak clearly and effectively. And I just thank you so much that we live in the most beautiful state in the world, and that we have the most beautiful summers in the world, no matter how short they are. In Jesus' name, amen. So my message today is kind of continuing off of, a little bit off of Reed's. You know, Reed's last week was on getting to know you, knowing Jesus. And mine's kind of like, you know, now that we know him, you know, how do we live like him? You know, how do we make that shown to those around us? How do we really show, you know, that Jesus is inside us to those around us, to those we work with, those we live with, those we go to school with? So that's kind of what mine is. And so if you guys could open up to James 2, it's in the New Testament. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, but it's in the New Testament. It's right after Hebrews. We're going to have it up there just in case you guys don't have your Bibles, but if you guys could get there, James 2:14. So while you guys are turning there, I'm just going to give you a little background on James. So James was written by the man named James. There's two different James that they think it could be written on. There's two James that are disciples. There's James and John, the brothers. And then there's the other James, which they believe it was written by, which is James, the brother of Jesus. So I just want you guys to think about that for a second. Like, imagine being the brother of Jesus. Do any of you guys have siblings? Who has brothers and sisters here? Do any of you guys ever compete with your brothers or sisters? Yeah, all the time? Let's just imagine competing with Jesus here. He's perfect in every way. He's God in flesh. I don't think you're going to win. So imagine James trying to compete with you. If he's anything like me, he's really competitive. Imagine how his life would be trying to compete with Jesus. That's just not fair. And if you do win, I mean, you know he let you win because it's Jesus. So that's going to make you even more angry. So it's just a tough life for James. I mean, imagine living in that shadow, you know, trying to live up to your older brother. You know, oh, your older brother is, you know, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Savior of the world. What did you do? Oh. But, you know, James, he was a great man. He ended up actually, after Jesus died, he ended up leading the church in Jerusalem. So he is the head of the church in Jerusalem, and he wrote this letter to the 12. It's called the 12 Churches of Dispersion, just the 12, just churches, general letter out that circulated throughout the churches. And let's go. James 2:14, its title is Faith Without Works is Dead. So let's start. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions. Can that kind of faith save anyone? So before we go any further, I kind of want to define faith, and I kind of want to define actions. So faith, you know, defined in the Greek is actually means like the Christian faith or the belief in the gospel. So that word faith is literally saying, you know, what good is it if you, you know, believe in the gospel and then show it by your actions is kind of means like one who does good, you know. So what good is it, you know, if you say you have belief in the gospel, but you don't show it by how you live, you know, you don't show it by what you do, you know, you don't live it out. What good is that, your brothers and sisters? And then he goes on to say an example of it. So suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? How does that help them? See, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It's dead and useless. And then it goes on to say, now some may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. So, I don't know about you. I don't know if I'm the only one who has this problem, but how many of you don't really believe everything you hear? You know, you're one of those people that kind of, you know, like starts questioning everything. I kind of have a problem. Sometimes I do it intentionally just to make people mad to see what they say. You know, like someone will tell me something about going on. I'll be like, ah, yeah, right. My little brother hates this. He'll tell me something he did today. I'll be like, ah, yeah, right. You never went there. He's like, I'm fine, man. I'm never telling you this anymore. See, I have that problem where I kind of question everything because I realize, you know, you can make up whatever you want. You know, people can really, honestly, you know what I mean? We can make up whatever we want. I could tell you guys, I could dunk. How many of you would believe me? Anyone that knows me, probably not. It's not my fault, all right? But I could tell you I could do a backflip. I could tell you I'm a millionaire. Would any of you believe me if I didn't show you it? You know, if I didn't prove it to you, you know, how would I prove it to you? I'd have to show you that, right? I'd have to show you that I could do a backflip. I'd have to show you the $1 million. I'd have to show you that I could dunk. Otherwise, you know, they wouldn't believe me. So I think that's kind of the same thing, you know, with Christianity. Like, I believe anyone can, you know, say they're Christian. Anyone can, just like anyone can say they're a Muslim, you know. Anyone can say anything, you know. And so I started, you know, seeing all this, and it kind of, you know, disturbed me. Like, you know, you see people all over the world, you know, kind of like in America especially, everyone, you know, says they're Christian. You know, you see all the rappers and the sports players and everyone, you know, they see like, oh, they say I'm a Christian. And then you see kind of like what kind of music they're making. You're like, oh, I don't know if that guy's actually a Christian. You know, you see what they're doing. You hear about them getting in trouble for different things. You're like, I don't know if that guy's really, you know, what he says, you know. But they all will say, you know, they'll proclaim it. And so I started thinking about, you know, but like, what does that mean? You know, how should I know, you know, if they really are Christians or not? Because I don't know them, you know, I don't know their story, I don't know how their heart is with God, so there's no way I can, you know, tell. So I was trying to think, you know, I was like praying, God, you know, how will we know, you know, how would we show that to others, you know, like how would we prove to others or even just show, you know, what we have inside that or show that our faith is genuine, you know, like how would we do that? And he kind of brought me to this verse, you know, James 2, 14 through 23 or 24. He brought me here and he's like, I started reading this and it really started speaking like, wow, you know, like it's more than just, you know, our belief. It's more than just saying it because anyone can say it, you know, but if we don't really believe it, like you're not going to say anything or you're not going to do anything that you don't believe in. You know, you don't do anything unless you believe it to be true, you know? And so just like that, if you say something, but your actions are the exact opposite, do you really believe it? You know, can we really say that we believe something? So, see, but something I want to make sure to clarify too is that what we do doesn't save us. You know, the Bible is very clear that we're saved through faith in Jesus. You know, that's not we're saved. But I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is, you know, how do we show that? How do we show that our faith in Jesus is to those around us? You know, how do I do that? And then I think James says that it's by our actions. It's by what we do. It's by how we live our life, and it's about how we influence people. So I think James here is a he's not saying we're not saved if we don't do good works. He's saying that us being saved means nothing unless we are living out our good works. See, so if we just have belief in the gospel, you know, like we're saved, you know, there's that point of conversion, you know, we believe in Jesus, we give our heart to him. That's genuine. That's good. We're saved. But if we do nothing about it, if we just live our life as Christians, but we don't do anything about it. No one knows about our Christianity. We just go through day to day. We don't do anything, you know, for the kingdom. We don't do anything at all. is that faith. It's not saying that faith is not real. I think I'm saying that the faith is useless. It's dead. That's why he says it over and over again. He says, your faith is useless. Your faith is dead. It's not that saying you don't have faith. It's saying that your faith is not good for anything because it's not good. You're not bringing any glory to the kingdom. You're not making a change in the world. You're not making a change in the impact around you. You're not making a change in anyone's life around you. It's kind of a little bit like selfish Christianity. You know, it's just about you. You're saved. You don't want to share that. But I think Jesus calls us to share what we have with everyone else. You know, once we're saved, we need to share what God's done in us. That's what our works are. It's us sharing what Jesus has done in our life, what he's called us out of. And that's why our testimony is so powerful, because it's what Jesus has done inside us. It's something that he has come and he has taken us out of that sinful nature that we used to be in. He's taken us out of where we used to be, and he has called us into something greater. He's pulled us out of that, and he's shown us what he has for us. And so that's what I'm saying. I think our actions are kind of how we share the gospel, how we share the gospel with others, how we spread it to those around us. See, one of my biggest prayers is that my life is an example of Jesus. I want people to see me living out what I say. I don't ever want to teach anything. I don't ever want to tell anybody anything. I don't ever want to say anything that I don't personally live out myself. Because if you do, if you say one thing, live out another, your words have no weight behind them. You know what I mean? Like, if I tell someone not to do something and then I go ahead and do that, why would that person believe me? You know, if they don't see me living out exactly what I'm saying, why should anyone listen to me? Why should anyone believe what I have to say? Because it has no weight behind it. It has no meaning behind it. So I think that, you know, part of it is we're being an example of Jesus to those around us. You know, by living out our faith, by we're living like Jesus. See, Jesus calls us to live like him and share his love. You know, we're called to. The mission statement of my church in Portland is kind of cool. It's called Live in Love. It's live like Jesus, share his love. And I think that's exactly what we're called to as Christians. We're called to be people that live like Jesus, and we share his love with those around us. We share what he's done in us. We share what he's called us out of. And that will encourage people to really see, you know, like what Jesus has, you know, what he's done, what he really does. And I think because as Christians, we're actually, the word Christian really means Christ-like. It means follower of Christ. Some would say little Christ. So it was actually, the origin is kind of funny. It was actually, it originated back in the early Christians. The pagans actually used to call them Christians to make fun of them. They used to make fun of them by saying, oh, you're Christian, because that's what it means, like follower of Christ. Because the Christians were following Christ, and they weren't living at all like the rest of the people around them. They weren't living at all like the rest of the world. And they were making fun of them for not living like the rest of the world. They were making fun of them for living like Jesus. But really, that stuck because that's exactly what we're called to do. That's exactly what they wanted. They didn't take that as an insult. They took that as a compliment. Because they were not living like the rest of the world. They were living for Jesus. They were living away. Because when we live for Jesus, we're going to look different than the world. I'm not saying we have to look weird. Let's be real. We don't have to look weird. Like, Christians are probably the normalest people. Okay, that's not true. We have homeschoolers here. I'm just kidding. Just kidding, homeschoolers. I love you, homeschoolers. I love you, homeschoolers. I'm just kidding. Public school. Anyway. But seriously, we are... That was messed up. We have a lot of homeschoolers. I forgot. I should know the crowd. I'm sorry. Sorry, homeschoolers. Please forgive me. Homeschoolers are the best once they make friends and meet people. I'm just kidding. I love you, homeschool. Anyway. So, yeah. So, let's continue on. Verse 19. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? He goes on to repeat that. Faith without good deeds is useless, because when the Bible, when something is repeated over and over again, it shows its importance. It shows how important it is to the writer to get it across. And I love what he's talking about, you know, like, so you say you believe in God. So what? You know, like, anyone can say they believe in God. The demons believe in God, you know what I mean? And they're not living for him. They're not following him. They're doing the exact opposite, you know? They're not living for Jesus. So Christianity, I think, is just more than just, you know, that belief. I mean, obviously, you know, when we believe in Jesus, we make him Lord, or we make him Savior, you know, we're saved. But it's so much more than that, you know? Once we're saved, it's all right. Now we need to go on living like Jesus. We need to go on sharing Jesus, sharing what he's done for us, sharing his love to the rest around us. And so, you know why people think Christians are hypocrites? Have any of you guys ever heard that or heard anyone say, you know, Christians are hypocrites? They, you know, are one way at church and then the rest of the week they're no different than the rest of the world. You know why that? It's because people will, you know, they'll claim Christianity with their mouth, but then their actions will do the exact opposite. And that's not how we're called to live. You know, we're not called to be people that just proclaim to be Christians. Like, anyone can do that. That's not what we call. We're called to be people that live out Christianity. We're called to be people that live out what we believe. You know what I mean? And so there's a quote that was by a man named Karl Rahner. He's a theologian. He's actually a Catholic theologian a long time ago. And he said, the number one cause of atheism is Christians. Those who proclaim him being Jesus with their mouth and deny him with their actions is what an unbelieving world finds unbelievable. So I want to challenge us. Do we live out the same way we are at church when we're out at school? Do we live the same way we are at church when we're out with our families, when we're out with our friends? You know, are we the same type of person? Are we willing to do those same things here at church? See, because if we can't answer that question yes, then we should check, you know, ourselves and see, like, you know, what are we doing? Are we really, you know, living? Because to me, Christianity isn't just like a hat you put on when you're at church. You know, it's not just something that you do while you're here. You know, I don't just put on a hat, my Christian hat, while I'm here, you know, and then as soon as I leave, I put on my Justin hat or my, I don't know, whatever else I do out there. I wish I played sports anymore. I could say that, but, you know, those days are past. Glory days. Glory days. Always live them. No. But, see, it's not just something we do here. It's something that's a lifestyle. It's who we are. When we become a Christian, it becomes part of who we are. You know, it's Jesus in our heart. You know, it's part of us. It's not just something that we do while we're here. It's something that we live every day of our life. So we need to make sure that we don't just live it here, but we live it everywhere we're at. So let's keep going. There's another. So the good thing about James is he has another, you know, example of basically what he's saying. James lays out another example of what he's saying. And so do any of you guys know the story of Abraham and Isaac? So if any of you guys don't know, I'll just go over it quickly. So Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation, the father of all of Israel. Jesus came and God came, promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, that promised him that he would be the father of more numerous than the stars in the sky. The only problem was Abraham was 100 and he had no kids. So it's kind of hard to be a father when you're 100, you don't have any kids. But God still promised him that. You know what? Abraham believed him. And then sure enough, his wife Sarah gave birth to a son, Isaac. And he's rejoicing. He's like, you know what? Through Isaac, my family line will pass on. God will, you know, fulfill his promise like he said. And then God does something very interesting. He says, all right, now that I've given you the son, I want you to sacrifice him on a mountain to me. And Abraham goes, okay, God, if that's what you want, because I truly trust in you, you promised that you'd give me a son, you did. You promised that you would make me father of many nations, you did. So you know what? Because I believe in you, because I trust in you, I'm not just going to say it, I'm going to go do it. You know what? I'm going to go up there. So it says, so Abraham went up on that mountain, and you know, right before he was going to do it, God said, stop. And he had a sacrifice there in a bush ready for him. But he said, you know, since you were willing to trust me, you know, I don't think if Abraham wouldn't have done that, it would have shown that he didn't really believe God. You know, if he didn't actually go up and do that, it would have shown that he didn't believe what God was saying because he didn't have the faith, you know, to really do it. You know, because he would be saying, like, you know what, God, I trust you, but I'm not going to do what you're telling me to do because I don't believe that you're really going to, you know, get out of this, you know. So I want to do this my own way, so I'm not going to do this. But he said, no, you know, he said, nope, I trust you, God. If this is what happened, you're going to either give me another son, you know, something. But he knew that God would provide for him. He trusted in God. And so not only did his faith and his actions work together, he actually went and did what he believed. So here's it goes. Verse 21. Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Imagine that, God counting you righteous because of your faith. God saying to you, well done, thank you for believing in me. You are a righteous man because you trusted me and believed in me. It says he was even called the friend of God. That was such a cool thing. I didn't even think about that, but my dad actually pointed that out to me a couple days ago. He's like, imagine being just called friend of God. That's all of us when we become in a relationship with him. We're friends of God. We're friends of the Creator. You know, how many people know, you know, someone that's pretty famous or has done really well off? Does anyone know any famous people? I mean, we live in Alaska, so probably not. I don't really know that many people. But we like to tell, you know, we see those people like, oh yeah, I know him. You know, I know that guy. Well, imagine, you know, being able to say, I know the Creator of the universe, the Creator of everything. You know, that's us. That's what we get to say. We get to say that we are friends with him. We get to talk with him. We get to spend time with him. We get to share intimate, you know, conversations, feelings, everything. We get to share everything with the ultimate celebrity, you know, the ultimate creator of all things. You know, that is our Father. That is our Creator. That is someone that is our friend. And that's what we get to be called. See, it says, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not faith alone, just like Abraham was right there. So if I could get Cecilia up here real quick. So the real question is, you know, how do we live out that Christianity? You know, how do we do this? How do we actually, you know, live out what we believe? And I think Jesus asks two things of us. I think he asks us to make him our Savior. You know, that's at point of conversion, that's when we become Christians, you know. He asks us to make him Savior of our life. And I think he also, though, asks us to make him Lord. And those are two different things that we, I think, get confused about. He not only wants us to make him Savior, you know, which is a one-time decision, you know, where we ask Jesus into our heart to be Lord and Savior of us. But I think the Lord part is something that we do every day. It's when we lay down our will for his will. It's when we really place him ahead of everything else in our life. When we make something Lord, you know, we make him Lord of our life. We are putting him at the head of our life. We're putting him at the forefront, which means we're putting everything behind him. We're putting everything under him. We're putting Jesus first and then even us second. So when we make Jesus Lord, we need to put him first in our life. See, it's when we make Jesus Lord, it requires us to surrender parts of ourselves. It just requires us to surrender our free will, our wants, our desires, because we're trusting that Jesus has more for us than what we can do on our own. See, every one of you guys in here has a specific calling that God has for you. Every single person in this room has a specific calling that Jesus has for you, but the only way to fulfill that is to make him Lord. And that's something we do every day. We do give up more of ourselves. See, he's given us free will because love requires a choice. He gave us free will knowing that some people would reject him, but you know what? He chose anyway to give us that free will because he knew that if he did not give us free will, we could never truly love him because it would all be forced. It would be something that we were forced to all love him, when really we get that choice because God says, you know what? I love you guys so much that I want a real relationship with you. I don't want a fake one. I want a real relationship with each and every one of you. So God has given us that choice. So if we choose, we can surrender ourselves, our will, our wants, our desires, and pick up God's desires for us, pick up God's will for us, and really start walking in that, which is so much better than anything we could do on our own. I can just want to share a little, you know, a bit about my story. So I was so blessed to grow up in a Christian family. My parents and my grandparents are Christians, and they're actually in the back right there. And so I was so blessed to have a generational, you know, Christian in my family. Not many people, you know, can say that. And so I was actually saved. You know, I made God Savior in sixth grade. I was so, you know, blessed. I grew up, made him Savior. But I really didn't make him Lord till probably my senior year of high school. You know, I was, you know, saved. I go to church every Sunday, but I really didn't start putting him first. I still wanted to do my own thing, you know. I wanted to do what I wanted to do, you know. I wanted to kind of, you know, live how I wanted to live, you know. I'd be a Christian on Sunday, you know, but I wasn't out there, you know, sharing it with everyone, you know. I just kind of, you know, be myself, you know, kind of like we were talking about, you know, like where you're a Christian, but, you know, not everyone knows about it. You know, you don't really, you know, do anything about it. You just keep it to yourself. You know, I was saved, you know, Christian, but I didn't really, you know, I didn't have any of those works. I didn't have anything good actions. I didn't share it with anyone. I didn't make an impact in anyone's life. I didn't change anyone's life. God didn't use me for anything. I didn't make him Lord because I was doing what I wanted to do. And then my senior year of high school, I actually went to GM camp. Thank goodness for GM Camp, am I right? Who loves GM Camp? Everyone? Yeah. And God really rocked me, and he's like, hey, I know this is what you want to do, but I have way better plans for you right now. And so he really just, like, boom, ran into me and really just convicted me, like, wow, I really, like, you don't even realize it when you're not, you know, living for him. You don't even realize that you're not, you know, until God really shows you, like, hey, this is what's going on. This is what you're doing. And so I was like, wow, you know, that this is crazy. And so since then I decided, you know what? I do want to put God first. I don't want to do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. I started realizing, like, it started going more and more, like, more things started disappearing for me. I got cut from my hockey team. Hockey was my whole life up until then. Like, that's all I wanted to do. I wanted, you know, the fame and the glory and the money and everything like that. I wanted that because I loved it, you know. I wanted, but that was purely for me. That was what I wanted. That was me being, you know, I was like, you know, I want to be a Christian, but I also want to be a professional hockey player. And I'm not saying those two can't go together at all. That is not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, but I wanted it for my will. And God's like, you know what? I have a way better plan for you, but you just got to start surrendering what you want and really start going after what I want for you, you know, because my plan is better and way more fulfilling. And so that senior year, I decided, you know what? I'm going to lay that down and I'm going to start living for you. So, but it's, that's the thing I say. It's a daily process. It's something we have to do every day because it's not just a change overnight. We're not perfect overnight. That'll never happen. I'm still not even close to remotely perfect, and none of us will ever be perfect. That's why I'm saying it's a daily thing. It's something we walk out. It's every day we need to start. We need to wake up each morning and just surrender, you know, our will. It'd be like, God, you know, I surrender this day to you. Please use me. Please work through me. And it's so much easier when we do that because it's not us. It's God moving through us. You know, it's God working in us. That's something that we have, and that's amazing. See, the Bible even says in Psalms 34:7, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Not you'll give yourself the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. All you have to do is take delight in the Lord. All you have to do is spend time with him, grow your relationship, make him the Lord of your life, make him the true first place in your life. So I want to challenge you guys. Let's think about, you know, what are we putting ahead of Jesus? You know, let's just start really be serious with ourselves. You know, are we saying, you know, like, yeah, you know, I want to be a Christian. I want to walk this out, but I still want to, you know, keep this part because it feels comfortable. It feels safe. It feels normal. Do I want to keep this area, or do we really want to surrender all of ourselves? You know, God calls us to surrender all of ourselves, not just part of ourselves, not just half of ourselves, not just one part. He wants all of us because he's got something better for us, not because he wants us to not have any fun, not because he wants us to not do anything, you know, great, you know, we want to miss out on everything. That's not what Christians are. Christians have so much fun, especially the homeschoolers. So much fun. We have so much fun, but it's not because, it's because we're really, you know, living what God has planned for us. We're really living out what he designed for us. We're living a healthy way. We're not living in a way that leads to death, a way that leads to destruction. Like, you look at your life before. I know I look at mine. There were so many things that were bad in my life that I caused on myself, you know? Like, I caused most of those problems that I had in my life. Obviously, there's still stuff that I was out of my control, and there will always be when you're a Christian. But a lot of the stuff that we cause that's going wrong in our life can be avoided by making good choices, you know, by making smart choices, by not doing things that are not good for you, that will lead to death or lead to sickness or lead to pain or lead to emotional scarring or lead to anything. So I just want to challenge you guys, you know, school's next week. We're starting up school. I'm leaving to school on Tuesday. I know, I miss you guys already. I'm sad. But I want to challenge you guys, like, how can we really live for Jesus in our schools? You know, making Jesus Lord of our life, how can we really, you know, live for him every day? How can we live for him while we're at school with our friends, while we're doing our different sports? How can we be that light for him? How can we be that example of him? Because we may be the only example of Jesus that anyone ever sees. Not everyone grows up in a Christian family. Not everyone has a church to go to. We may be the only example in our workplace, in our school, wherever, in our family even, that they see of Jesus. And are they seeing a good example of Jesus? You know, are they seeing someone that's no different from the rest of the world? You know, are they seeing someone that, you know, is a Christian here, but when they get out to the real world, they're like, you know what? I don't know if it's, you know, worth living out what I had. You know, I was so great when I was there in church, but when I get outside of church, it's like, oh, this is, you know, hard. This is the real world. I don't know if I'm up for it. But the thing is, it's easy because All we got to do is trust God with it. It's not us doing it. You know, it's not us living that up. It's Jesus living through us. And we really just have to, more and more each day, really, you know, give more of ourselves up to Him. Give our free will. Like, really search in yourself and get to know God. See, the way we really start living like Him is we get to know Him better. You know, that's why I set aside time with Him every morning or every day at some point to just spend time with Him, because I want to know Him more. I want to know more of what He has planned for me. I want to know more of what He's going to say to me. I want to know more of what He wants for me, what He wants me to do. I want to know more of who He is. I want to know more of what He thinks of me or what His plans are for me. And the only way to do that is to spend time with Him. It's a relationship. Why would you not want to grow it? Why would you not want to spend time with your Lord, your Savior, your friend, the person that wants what's best for you, the person in the entire world that wants what's best for you? Can you imagine that? He literally wants the best for you. That's all He wants. And He has the ability to give it to you. He does. But all we got to do is surrender what we want, because it can't be both ways. You know, it can't be just, you know, what we want to do and what He wants to do. It's got to be one or the other. You know, it's either going to be what we want or it's going to be what He wants. And it's up to us to make that choice. He gives that us that choice to really just decide, you know what? I want to make Jesus Lord. That's what I made in my decision. And it's been the most fulfilling, satisfying thing I've ever done. You know, it's not, it hasn't made life easy, and it never will, because your life's not going to be easy. But now I have someone to go through it with. I can cast all my cares on Jesus. I can cast all my problems, anything going on Him. And He's the one who will be there to lift me up, to carry me through those hard times, to be with me. So I just want to encourage you guys, you know, let's all stand up. You know, you guys, let's move all the chairs out of the way. If we could get some of the leaders to come up, David, Josie, Allison, Sean, if you guys could come up forward. And we can kind of gather back in the front, in the middle. Let's just gather on back here. When you get done moving those chairs away. Yeah, if we can get some of the, you know, the girls over here, guys, it doesn't matter either way, you know, just... doesn't matter. David, John. So I have, you know, Hannah, please come up here. Yeah, definitely. So Caleb, if you want to come up here. So I kind of have two, you know, things, like I was saying. First off, you know, if anyone wants to make Jesus Savior, you know, ask Him into our heart, wants to be saved, wants to know Jesus, have a personal relationship with Him, I want to give you that chance. So I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you, though, if you want to, you can come forward. We have multiple leaders down here. I'll be out here. Reed's here. Multiple leaders that if you want to come and give your life to Christ, you know, you can come up, find one of us right here, and we will pray with you. We'll walk with this through you. And then the second thing is, because a lot of us here are saved, a lot of us, you know, got saved at camp, how many of you want to start today making Jesus Lord of your life? You know, how many of you guys want to really start today? Because it's a daily thing. It's something we have to choose each day to make Jesus Lord. So I want to encourage you guys, if you know that's your decision, you want to start today, please also, you know, come up here. We're here to pray for you. We're here to pray with you. Cecilia's just going to play some music in the background, and we're just going to spend some time, you know, praying with each other. Because that's what a family's here for. That's what we're here for, right? We're here to pray with you guys. We're here to walk through this with you. You're not alone, you know? Obviously, you're not alone. You have Jesus, but you also have a family. That's what the church is. It's a family to live life with, to go through life with. So I want to encourage you guys, anyone you know at all who wants to make that decision, please feel free to come up here and we'll start praying. So. I also want to encourage you guys too, if anyone just wants prayer for anything, you know, that's what we're here for. If you guys want prayer for anything, no matter what it is, I encourage you guys to come up here. We're willing to pray for you guys. Just come up here. Let us know. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't matter what it is, but we're here to pray with you. We're here to walk through life with you. So if you guys want just prayer, anything at all, please feel free to come up here. So I have one more thing before we wrap up. So we're all, you know, we're all going back to school. We're all going back to, you know, the routine of school. And so I just wanted one more before we leave, you know, I just want to, you know, pray for us. You know, I want us all kind of, you know, come together in prayer. You know, you guys can, whoever wants to, you can come forward, or you can just, we can gather around and just pray for the school year. You know, pray for the fact that we are going to, you know, step up and live for Jesus at our schools. You know, pray for that we're going to take a step out and really, you know, live for him at our schools, make an impact in these, in our schools, and really look to make a change. Look, ask Jesus how he can use us in our schools. You know, we're only around these people for so long. We're only around so many unsaved people for so long. And so I just want to encourage us, you know, we can get together in groups, you know, two or three or four. You guys come up here. It doesn't matter, whatever you want to do. But let's get together and let's just start praying over this school year. You know, let's start praying over the fact that we're going to step out and we're going to really make a change this year in our school. We're going to live for Jesus at our school. We're going to live for Jesus while we're at our school. So let's just like, I just want to do that together for a last thing and then we'll wrap up. right, guys. So I'm just going to close it up here. Just want to encourage you, we're all going to school. We're all going back to school. So I'm just going to pray, and then we can head out. So, dear Jesus, I just thank you so much for moving in here tonight, Lord. I thank you for coming here tonight, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity that we've all had to just come and experience you, God. Thank you for speaking here tonight, Lord. And I pray that you are with us as we go to school throughout this next week and throughout this next year, and that we decide to live for you this school year. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.